is you only get one you. You get one vessel. And if you're not taking care of you, you're never going to achieve your professional goals, you know?
All right, this is Ola coming to you live from our Empire Pro Studios. On this episode, we have a special guest. I want to tell you a little bit about her. She's 31 years old. She's been in the real estate industry for about 4 years. In her third year in the business, she hit top 1,000 real estate agents in the country per Wall Street Journal. She was coaching, training all over the U.S. And on the outside, everything looked perfect. Some would even say Facebook perfection. However, the truth was that so many things were out of balance. She was putting client need before her very own. She always thought she would be known through real estate. Something has changed dramatically, and we want to find out today. Right?
You bet.
Here's Rachel Adams. Hi, Rachel.
Hello. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. I'm excited to have you on. I like it. Yeah. I like it. I love it. And I can't wait to dig into what you got going on here.
Yeah. So
tell me, what's your story? What's going on with your story?
Yeah. You know, I mean, I think, so I'm actually 32 now. I just had a birthday.
Thanks to your bio.
Yeah. Right. Seriously, better update that puppy. Right. I got into the real estate industry, in 2012, and I was actually working a full-time job, and I'm seeing all these commission checks coming through, and I'm like, man, I really want one of those. But I was kind of in this scarcity mindset that like salary was safe and comfortable, and I knew how much money was coming in.
Right.
And then I went to this sales course one time, and I heard a quote that like changed my life, and it was, change the way you look at things, and the things you look at change. So all of a sudden I went from a scarcity mindset of like, I can't quit my job, it's safe, to an abundant mindset. And I was like, well, if I'm commission based, there's no cap on how much money I can make, and I can create my own destiny.
Absolutely.
So I quit my job that day, put my 2 weeks in, and started doing real estate. And, you know, people say they're like paycheck to paycheck. I was literally like paycheck behind a paycheck. So like, you know, the feeling, right? Like,
yep.
And I'm like, dang, entrepreneurship is exciting and broke. I didn't know what to do, but I knew I couldn't fail. And at the time, to be honest, I was in a pretty unhealthy marriage. And I was married to a disabled vet with really bad PTSD that didn't want to get help. And so I was the only one working. And, you know, it was super difficult, but I knew that my only option was to be successful. So I started door knocking 200 doors a week and doing 3 open houses a week for the first 8 months. Ended up closing 39 deals my first year, then 109, then 123, which is what put me as top 1,000. So from the outside looking in, I was very intentional about what I put on social media. And I started to slowly grow a following. And then I hit like 20,000 followers and started coaching all around the U.S., like teaching people how to build a business and work on their mindset. But reality for me was like kind of different. What people didn't know is that in those 3 years it took me to hit top 1,000, I got a divorce I never dealt with. I gained about 32 pounds. And I put everybody else's needs in front of my own, like family, friends, clients, you name it. And then I got asked by my corporate company, so I'm with Keller Williams, and I got asked by them to come shoot a commercial to inspire young agents on how to build a business and work on their mindset and everything. Mm-hmm. And I flew to Texas to do that, and I'm like really excited because I do interviews all the time. And I knew that I was sitting down with a woman named Nina Rowan Heller, and she is a international health and wellness coach. She coaches like Matthew McConaughey, the founders of Microsoft. Like, she's a big deal, you know?
Right.
And I go to sit down with her, camera lights are on, you know, hair and makeup done, all that. And we're like mid-interview, and she's like asking me questions about real estate, and I'm answering, and I'm like, well, I did this, and I did this, and like my normal deal. Right. And she's like, and how did that make you feel?
Hmm.
And I'm like, feel? I mean, you know, bumps and bruises, but you do what you do. And then we keep talking, and she's like, and how did that make you feel? And I'm like, what the heck, chick? Like, you're messing up my flow. Hmm. And then she said, she asked the camera crew to step outside. And I'm like, what is going on, you know? And she takes my hand and she says, Rachel, have you ever heard that your video isn't matching your audio? So like what you say you're doing, you're not actually doing.
That's actually real time for some people.
Oh my God. Absolutely. And you know, it's like, I think it's one thing to be honest with other people, but it's totally another to be honest with yourself.
Yeah. Different ballgame.
Yeah. And I was like, I mean, I've heard it, but never in relation to me. And she's like, sweetie, what's really going on? And I'm not kidding you, like in this workout, we're in a workout studio at the time, in this workout bench in Texas, I just burst into tears. And I was just like, Nina, I got a divorce and I have pushed it down so far thinking that it would just go away, but I've never dealt with it. And on the outside, everything looks happy. But when I go home at night, like something's missing and I don't know what it is, but I don't think I'm happy. Like I have all this success. I have the money now, but I'm like empty inside, you know? And so we end up having this amazing, like 2-hour conversation about what my life could look like if I embraced two things. It was authenticity and intention.
Yeah.
And we talked for 2 hours. She sent me home. I never got to shoot the commercial. I was super embarrassed. I cried for like 2 days.
Wow.
But then I realized like I have a platform and my people who connect with me, like they deserve for me to be honest, you know? And so I decided that I would commit to leading my life with authenticity and intention. And it wasn't a thing at the time. I just decided that for 90 days, I would take out my two biggest distractions in my life,
right,
that I felt were holding me back from like being the best version of myself and see what happened. Mm-hmm. And I did that and like everything changed.
Let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
What was your background? Were you raised in a performance environment? Were your parents involved in free enterprise?
No, like my mom was a school teacher for 26 years. And so not really. My dad was a real estate broker though. So my dad, you know, he told me like whenever you go, like when you're in front of clients, basically like you're on a stage, right? Mm-hmm. So everything's perfect. And I worked like when you have a really unhealthy home life, you don't want to go home. So I was kind of always on stage. I was like, well, my life is perfect. My life is shiny. And when I got a divorce, he just like disappeared from my life. Yeah. And so it was really interesting. And so over these 90 days, like my two things that I took out of my life, ended up being, dating. I was on 3 online dating sites at the time.
Oh, wow.
I was just like trying to fill some void. You know, I never really dealt with why I got a divorce. So I was just like, well, we'll just fix this.
Right.
And then the other thing is I stopped drinking for 90 days, drinking alcohol.
How did that work out?
You know what? It was not easy at first.
Mm-hmm.
But the interesting thing was, is like, so I'm 5 feet tall. And when I'm not going to ever grow this way. I only grow this way. And so when I took out drinking, it was really interesting because I felt like so much more energy. Uh-huh. I wasn't ever like tired in the morning, so I could like get up and exercise. Then I started meal prepping, and it was like you make one good decision and then another good decision, then another good decision.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, for 90 days, I just committed to this higher level of living and changing some stuff. And it was just crazy.
Okay. So you started sharing your journey.
Right? Yeah.
Now, how has sharing your journey changed the direction of your real estate business?
Well, so that's what's interesting. Like, I worked so hard to keep up this, like, image of perfection. And when I finally, like, when I decided I was going to go on this personal development journey for 90 days, I shared it on Facebook because that's where I shared everything.
Right.
And it was amazing the support that I received from all of my friends and followers out there, many of which I don't know and I probably won't ever meet.
Right.
But they were just like, oh my God, Rachel, I got a divorce. I'd never know you did. And all they saw like was all of a sudden I just like got like 6-pack abs and they're like, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
And cause I shared my journey and what happened is it was like on day like 69 of my 90, I went back to a real estate convention and I'm walking down the hallway and I see Nina and she's like, oh my God, Rachel, what happened to you? Cause I'm like 25 pounds lighter and my skin's glowing. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, are you kidding me? You happened in that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And so she She's like, we have to share this. So she has 25 years experience in health and wellness coaching. And then I had the story. So we got together and decided that it was too much good had happened in my world not to share it with others. And I knew that there were other people out there, especially professionals, that their work-life balance is out of whack. They're staying in unhealthy relationships, or they need freshness in their relationship. They want to lose weight. They want to, like, reprioritize goals or, like, get clarity on their purpose.
Right.
And so we ended up creating this amazing 90-day program, and now it's, like, on Fox News, and I'm going to be, knock on wood, but hopefully doing my first TED Talk next February.
Can't wait for that.
Yeah, so it's just like
I interviewed her before.
Yeah, so it's a totally interesting trajectory, and now, like, I mean, I'm connecting with people like in New Zealand and Africa and in California, like all over the world. People are changing their lives, and it's amazing.
You know, success-driven people, we have to be careful because you know. I'm privileged right now to be interviewing quite a lot of success-driven people, and we have a lot in common. And one of the things that we have to be careful about is our own personal life.
Yeah.
You know, we tend to take care of everybody. You know, if you're truly success-driven, you understand that it's all about serving others, not necessarily you.
Yeah.
And we take that on completely because performance, everything is attached to taking care of everybody else. You know, but we tend to forget that we have a human brain in our brain, meat.
Yeah.
This meat, you know, and it has to be taken care of as well too.
Yeah.
So it's very fascinating hearing you sharing that after so much success.
Yeah.
I can very much relate because we have all kind of tools to cover up, you know, we could just keep going, keep working. We could work from morning till nighttime and then exhausted, and then you start again because you're not really looking at, you don't sell time. So you're not looking at the hours, you know?
Yeah.
And sometimes you have to take the time apart and just relax and get into it. So let's talk about real estate a little bit.
Yeah, sure. Can I say one thing really quick on that last note?
Absolutely, please.
So I think the thing is, like, we make so many, like, as individuals, like, we work so hard to, like, make these huge professional goals, right? I'm going to do this, I'm going to hit this, and I always knew how I was going to do that. Mm-hmm. What I never did was take the time to look at my personal goals, like who I wanted to be, how I wanted to lead my life, who I'd surround myself with. Mm-hmm. And reality is, you only get one you. You get one vessel. And if you're not taking care of you, you're never going to achieve your professional goals, you know?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So one thing that I did that was really, really powerful is my hardest chapter of the book to write was about your relationship standards and allies, because mm-hmm. I had to admit that I got a divorce. And I mean, I like hid this sucker like as much as you could.
Mm-hmm.
But what I did is I wrote a word about all the things that mattered to me in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And then next to the word, I wrote a paragraph about what that word meant to me. So at the time, I think I'm getting clarity for my next relationship. And I realize later that I'm literally setting a standard for what I will and I won't allow in my life, both professionally and, you know, friendship-wise. And I'm not kidding you, 3 months after I finished writing the book, mm-hmm. I met my boyfriend, and 28 days ago, he became my fiancé.
Nice. Congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you. But it's amazing because so many people work so hard to, like, get a new hobby or lose weight to, like, meet the right person.
Right.
And the reality is, like, when you're truly living your life with authenticity and intention and you're in your own power, you attract the right person because they're attracted to you. Like, I don't think I would have been ready for him before I did my 90-day journey. I wasn't clear on who I was yet, you know?
What is the difference between admitting that you had a divorce and just knowing it? You know, as successful people, we would like to think we are more objective than an average person.
Yeah.
What's the difference between being objective about that and actually admitting it?
You know what? Like, the crazy thing about it was I thought, like, not admitting it made me stronger because I was like, oh God, I don't want to be a statistic. And reality was, like, it empowered me. I was like, this is not who I am. It's just part of my journey. We're all on a journey. And what I realized is what matters is bounce back ability. how do you bounce back from the tough stuff that happens? Because for business, I mean, I'm like, doing great, fall flat on my face. Doing great, fall flat on my face, you know? Right. Life of an entrepreneur. But it, I don't know. I encourage anyone to just, not that, I mean, don't go for the divorce, but if it happens,
right,
it can define you, you know?
Right. I totally agree with that. You know, I think as entrepreneurs, what we need to know right now that everything that happens to everybody out there can happen to you. And yeah, when it does, don't be in denial. Don't be this macho about it. Yeah. Just be authentic about it. Know it as what it is. And I totally agree that sharing your story is always empowering, because you, because remember, you have human brain there. When you release that and you don't stock it just all up in there and you release that to the world, it just relieves you so much, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And we think we are producing so much. Watch what happens when you let go of whatever you're holding on to, whatever secret you're holding on to, you know? So it's also a limitation thing. It's an abundance mindset thing to just do that. You gotta let it go. Just tell people, share the story, and it's empowering. And I've struggled with that personally myself too.
Yeah. And you know, the other thing to know is, like, people always say, oh, the right people come into your life and the wrong people leave. Like, no, bottom line is the right people come into your life and the right people leave your life. Mm. People don't deserve to be in your world. Not everyone deserves it. And when you're really clear on who you are and how you're leading your life, things are going to change. Not everyone is going to come along on your journey, and that's okay. But it is a little bit hard to get used to that concept.
Isn't that applicable to even marketing, even choosing the prospect you want to work with?
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Now, you knock on doors.
Yeah.
What's your lead generation methods today?
So when I I have a team of 10 agents and I have 5 assistants for my real estate team. So I actually own 4 companies now. I have a traditional real estate business. I own an investment company where we flip properties. I have a real estate coaching business where I have a webinar series and live Q&A. And then I have Lost and Found, my book and program for personal development. And so with just hanging out, basically.
Are you sure you still have that time for yourself with all that stuff?
I do. You know what? But the big part for me is I time block, and my personal life, now that I have Ryan in my life, my fiance, he comes before everything. So it is like, you know, with clients and stuff, that one of the biggest things I can tell people when they're really trying to be intentional about personal life and business life is, you know, so say you're my client, right? And we sit down and you're going to buy a house and we're talking and you're like, okay, Rachel, I want to buy a house. I'm like, awesome. So I'm going to set up a custom portal for you. And tonight, go home, take a look at the properties. You know, I'm available until 6 o'clock at night. And if you have any questions after that, you know, if it's an emergency, let me know. But otherwise, in this process, you know, I'll get back to you the next business day. But say it's 9:30 at night and you're just looking through properties, you pop open a bottle of wine, you're just like hanging out, and then you're like, oh my God, I love this house, I'm going to text Rachel. Mm. Well, if you text me at 9:30 at night and I answer, I've now set my new boundary to 9:30 at night.
You did that.
Right? I did that.
Yeah.
You didn't, I did. So it's like, I can't expect you to respect my boundaries if I don't myself.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, absolutely. So it's like, and then like my cell phone is right here, right? But what we do at home is we do stuff called tech timeout, where there is specific designated areas in our home where there are no cell phones allowed, no technology. It's just about connecting as individuals. And it is so powerful. It's not easy because my phone is freaking going off the hook all the time.
About to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's really it's very important. I totally agree, because I'm, you know, I've gone through all kinds of phases too, you know, and, I went through that phase, probably 2005 to 2008 was the phase where I had to see every phone call that comes in and I must answer it.
Yeah.
If I miss a phone call and it goes to voicemail, I feel like I felt at the time that I just lost $10,000.
Totally.
That was how I felt at the time. But then you start coming to maturity in entrepreneurship. You start understanding that, you know, energy is neither created nor destroyed. You only have so much of it. And how you allocate that, which obviously includes your time, how you allocate that is a big deal. And the leisure times, like that time that you spent in that type of room, right?
Yeah.
Really just relax, right? Where you're not thinking, the brain is not working, is a part of your productivity.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
Thank you. So these are massive nuggets in there.
Good.
With time blocking and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I'm like, for example, another example right here, real quick. When I, in the morning, you know, we get all these videos out from here. Nothing stops that.
Yeah.
You know, the phone literally has to go off. There's certain calls that comes in. We're not just going to get it, you know, until we get that out. And, you know, sadly, some people say, so I'm not important. Is that what that means?
Yeah.
You know, I had to set, even though we have those boundaries, we have to have some exceptions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've got two kids in school, you know.
Yeah.
So the phone got to ring so I can hear that.
Yeah. And, you know, the people in your life, like, they deserve to matter. And I will tell you, like, before I really focused in on my personal development, like, mm-hmm. I would answer my phone. I would be, like, at lunch with you, right? And my phone would go, and I'd be like, oh, just a second.
Yes.
Like, and how does that make you feel, you know?
Yeah.
And so you just realize, like, the people in your world, like, they deserve to be present in your life. And, like, and kind of like what you talked about, scarcity mindset. Oh, my God, I'm going to miss that call. I'm going to miss the client. Abundance mindset, they'll wait for me because I'm worth it.
Yeah.
You know, if you're good at what you do, they'll wait for you.
This is true. This is true. And if you're thinking that way, or if you – everything you just mentioned, like the people in your life, that's exactly what life is.
Yes.
You're missing out on that, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice stuff. So we were talking about lead generation.
Yeah. Right? Okay.
So what are you doing right now for lead generation?
Yeah. Okay. So for me, like, when I think about real estate business and where my leads come in from, mm-hmm. I think about my business like the legs of a chair, because I think it's really easy to hear, you should do REOs, or you should do short sales, you should door knock, you should do for sale by owners, and you're trying to focus on everything, but you master nothing. So I tell my agents to think of their business like the legs of a chair. And if there's four legs of a chair, then what are the four legs to your business going to be? So for me, one of mine, everyone's non-negotiable, should be their database. Their sphere of influence, the people around them who like them, who want to work with them, and who can refer them business.
Mm-hmm.
Second one for me is my investment company. So I send out about 4,000 to 7,000 mailers a month, and then I flip properties, right? And if the property works as a flip, then I'll flip it and relist it under my name, right? So it's a piece mm-hmm. of business.
Right.
If it doesn't work for a flip, then I try and make it a retail listing anyway. So that's a really good source of business.
Nice.
Business-to-business relationship is a huge one for me. So for me, I realized I was literally standing in line at a grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in real estate, and I'm like hungry and young. And I'm like, anybody I see, I'm like, do you want to buy a house, sell a house, or invest in real estate? And I have my name tag, and that was my jam. And I'm standing in line ready to talk to the grocery clerk. And I got this like aha moment. And I was like, hey, is your manager here? And she was like, and I'm like, no, you're fine. You're not in trouble. Can I talk to your manager? And then she was like, yeah. So the manager comes out, and I said, hey, my name's Rachel Adams. I'm a local real estate agent in the area. And I'm sure just like me, you care about your employees. Mm-hmm. I have them as well. Wouldn't it be cool if you could host a night where you tell them how much you care about their future? I'm sure a lot of your employees are renting a home right now. I would love to be the person to help teach them about the benefits of home ownership. Mm-hmm. If you provide the location, I'll bring snacks. And then honestly, what you'll end up looking like for your employees is a rock star, because you're investing in their future. And he was like, yeah. So I started building my business by meeting with business owners that had all the employees around them. So that's a big one. And then my last one, my last one is social media. So of the 135 deals last year, 31 were from Facebook. So I do a ton of business through social media. And the one thing I will tell you about the flow of all my business
mm-hmm.
is I come from contribution. I'm always thinking how I can benefit other people around me. And then, by the way, I just happen to be in the business of buying and selling houses. So, like, my whole team of agents, all 10 agents, they all door knock every single week. I personally don't do it anymore, mm-hmm. but my team does. And we are door knocking with, like, so Thanksgiving's coming up.
Right.
So one thing we're going to do, we're going to have a flyer, and we're partnering with a local grocery store, Brown Grocery Bags, right? Mm-hmm. And the flyer, we literally door knock, and we say, hey there, my name's Rachel Adams, and I just want to let you know that I'm your local real estate agent. Mm-hmm. I live here, I work here, and I'm here for you. I'm sure just like me, you care about the community. One thing we're doing as your local real estate experts is we are providing meals for people who can't afford them. If you'd like to take this grocery bag, we're doing a canned food drive, and the pickup's going to be next Thursday from 1 to 4 p.m. A lot of your neighbors are participating in this. Would you like to as well?
Wow.
bam. Like, a lot of your neighbors, if their neighbors are doing it, well, then they want to do it. So the takeaway, right?
Yep.
And I put us on the same page. I'm like, I'm sure just like me, you care about the community.
Let me slow down.
Yeah, break it down.
So you go there not to ask to list their home.
Mm-mm.
Pretty much talk about how you're going to serve the neighborhood more.
100% of the time.
That's essentially what you're doing.
100%.
That right there is what I refer to as attraction marketing.
Yep. Bam.
It's not a gimmick. It's not you just, it's literally you caring about others first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you already said you are a real estate agent. You're the local real estate agent.
Yeah.
You know, people know what that is. You don't have to try to lease their homes.
No.
If they're in need of you immediately, they will stop you and say, hey, I was actually thinking about listing my home.
Yes.
If they're not, now they know. You don't have to pitch them, but you can still serve and you can still paint a better picture that you're just more than real estate. That's powerful, powerful stuff.
So for me, real estate is a relationship-based business. And then, by the way, I just happen to be in the business of buying and selling houses, you know? That's what it is for me. I want to build relationships everywhere I can, contribute to the lives of others, take care of my community. And then if you go to think about buying or selling a house, I hope you think of me. And most of the time they do, you know?
You know, people, we have a saying in our arena here. We call it people do business with people. People don't do business with businesses. People don't join companies. People want people. So if they don't know, like, and trust you, they won't do business with you. Then they're going to remember their cousin who actually doesn't really sell any homes, but they remember because you never really put something in their lives or planted a seed in their life that was valuable enough for them to remember you too.
Totally.
So you're a person. You just happen to be a real estate, but you're a person first, and you must, no matter what you do, relationship first. Relationship.
Yep. Absolutely.
Nice stuff. Very, very cool stuff. I like the traditional feel of this because, you know, I'm used to a lot of the people we're interviewing are people that are in the digital age and they're using a lot of the digital platforms, right?
Yeah. I obviously have that. I have all the online lead stuff. Like, that's a big, for my team, that's where they get their leads from. Door knocking, open houses, and online leads.
Right.
Boomtown's who I use. Like, I mean, that's absolutely part of my business. It's just not part of my personal business. But I'm the rainmaker. Like, my job is to make it rain on the team, you know? So, like, and I'm still in production. So one of the things, I run a coaching business for real estate.
Okay.
And it's a 10-week webinar series. And it's not, so many people do it that's not in real estate because I teach how to grow your business with social media.
Right.
Talk about, like, personal development equal business success, all of that.
Right.
But the comments that I receive the most often is the reason why people like it is because I'm, like, in the trenches. I'm doing what they're doing. So I'm not just, like, a coach on a high level being like, do this, do this, do this. Like, I've done it and I'm doing it, you know?
It's all like professors in universities.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's very, I think it's very important to be in the trenches, but even if you're not, I think it's important that people can look at your track records and know that you've done it. You've been there, you've done that.
Totally.
Now, people, there's a study, you know, that was conducted, and people generally don't necessarily appreciate, unsolicited knocking of doors, you know, because they are more social than ever before using their gadgets. This guy, right? They're a lot more social. So people want to argue and say, oh yeah, people don't like to be social. No, they're actually a lot more social. They're just not doing it the way you are used to.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that? I know you're not doing it, but you have team people. Doing it, right?
Yeah, I mean, I still coach.
People don't want their doors knocked increasingly more. They don't want you to knock on their doors. Is that?
Yeah. I mean, the no soliciting signs are definitely out there and up. I think the thing is, like, I really, really realize that there's a difference with, you know, it's what you knock on the door with. So my script that I teach the agents when they're knocking on doors, it's not like, hey, I'm here to buy or sell your house. When we're doing an open house, we literally knock on the door and you and they answer and I say, hey there, my name's Rachel Adams with Keller Williams Realty. I just want to give you a quick courtesy notice. There's going to be a little bit of extra traffic in your neighborhood tomorrow from 12 to 4. We're doing a little open house around the corner and, you know, so there's going to be a little bit of extra traffic. Just want to give you a heads up. Also, you know, kind of cool news about that property is it's doing for about $25,000 more than the seller thought it would. So what that means for you is prices are going up in your neighborhood. So if you want to come take a look, so I'm like super chill, like super passive about it, but I'm going to give them a courtesy notice about traffic. And like for me, it's just like wall down. They're like, oh, thanks. No, I'm good. Or yeah, really? You know, so I had to come up with something that would like take the guard down.
That's beautiful. I thought you were going to answer in a different way. I thought you were going to say, hey, I answered that earlier. But the way you just worded it is a little bit different.
I'm like a script master. I love scripts. Like, I just think that I love them.
You're owning it so much. You know, scripts, you know, the misconception people have about scripts is this, right? That it doesn't work. No, if you own it, because the way you just said it to me, I felt like you were saying it to me. And not some kind of robot saying it to me. Well,
that's why it's so important to practice your scripts. Because, like, so we do on my team, we do script practice every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday morning from 9:30 to 9:50.
Right.
And all the agents do it because I want them to be so comfortable with scripts that it becomes who they are, you know? And so, yeah, I love scripts all day long. But it's tough to go to...
Everyone is asking if does scripts work. Yes, they do. Yes. You just got to practice a lot. You got to turn it to yours. It's got to be yours, you know? And I've said that for years, but I love it. That's why I love interviewing people because they say it in a different way that I've been saying it for years, and then it becomes a totally new thing.
Totally. Well, Anne, I will tell you, it's really dangerous to go out to dinner with me because I usually get my way because I'm like, this sounds good, doesn't it? This is what you'd like. Wouldn't you like that? Like, that sounds so nice and refreshing, doesn't it?
I'm like, no. That's not what I want. Stop it, Rachel. Stop it.
I know, my friends are like, I know what you're doing.
Absolutely. My wife does that. She does. She knows what I'm doing.
Yeah. Tricky mama.
So value first. No matter what you're trying to do, when you're trying to get what you want, just remember that it's not about you now for a second. You got to lead with value. You got to lead with value.
Yeah.
Knock on doors if you want to, but find a way to lead with value.
Yeah, you're there to enrich their life. And, you know, when my agents get nervous about knocking on doors, I'm like, listen, if prices are going up in their neighborhood, they deserve to know because they don't have more equity in their home. You're being there to, like, serve them, you know? And so it takes the fear out. And, like, rejection is part of the business. Like, you'll get thick skin doing it for a minute, you know?
Yeah.
That's just part of it.
Yeah, and you get better too, and you get less rejection if you're always leading with value.
Yeah,
there's always going to be somebody. If you're leading with value and somebody says no, that chances are it's not even about you. They were already in the midst of something. They got ticked off, whatever.
Totally.
Got to keep moving on to the next, you know.
Yeah.
And you're right. If there's any real estate activity in your neighborhood, any type, it's directly proportional to increased value of your home.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. Very cool stuff. Now, let's get into a little bit more in the direction of digital things. Content marketing is a part of what you're doing right now.
Totally.
How big is that for you? And how did you encounter content marketing? You're doing content marketing. Now, you've created some content. You're doing coaching. Obviously, you're creating content. But now we're talking content marketing, sharing your journey, sharing what you know.
Oh, my gosh. Like okay, so I'm going to grab the book really quick to show you.
Mm-hmm.
So basically what happened is, you know, I start sharing my journey and we wrote the book. So this is what the book looks like.
Okay.
And, so we wrote the book and people like the book, but my thing is so many times people read a book and then they have good intentions, but they don't have the time and they put it back on their shelf and they never implement. Mm-hmm. So one thing we did, which is really cool, is we have, like, so technology is obviously the wave of the future. Mm-hmm. So we literally have an app. And on the app, you can track your water, your foods, your workouts. You do progress pictures at day 0, 30, 60, and 90. There's clean eating grocery lists, sample meal plans. So with what happened with that was, like, it was it was such another ball game for me. It was like, okay, you think you understand real estate. Now you have to learn Facebook targeted ads and the back end. And I was like, holy moly. And to be honest with you, I'm still learning. But what happens for me usually is I will get booked, because I do a ton of public speaking. Like, I do HR departments, I do like entrepreneurial groups, I'll do female masterminds. And what happens usually is I'm sharing my story, and then I give them some of the tools in the book and the program.
Right.
And then they want in. And so the cool thing about what I realized is if I could create an environment where there's 90 days of support and accountability, mm-hmm. there could be something there.
Absolutely.
So the first half of every chapter is called Rachel's journey. So it's why I went through what I went through, and I'm kind of relatable. Mm-hmm. The second half is called Nina's knowledge, and it's done workbook style. So like you, the reader, mm-hmm. have homework to do. And then there's a 90-day Facebook community that you're tied into, mm-hmm. and everyone's going through the same chapters at the same time. And you're asked, like, who is one person who inspires you and why? Like, where are you located in the U.S.? What's your favorite healthy snack on the go? So there's a lot of like good interaction happening, and the group gets very, very close knit. And so every Monday you're sent one chapter to read, you're assigned a chapter, and then you're also sent an inspirational guidance video. And the video basically walks you through the chapter, like the exercise one, it talks about like how to get six pack abs while you drive, mm-hmm. and like just different stuff. But there's like an app, a t-shirt, the book, the website. And so for people out in social media land, mm-hmm. and when I do speaking events, they're like, usually it's people who are either they want to lose weight, they're not where they want to be professionally, they either are not in a healthy relationship or they're not in a relationship. It's just like, you know that you're meant for more, but you don't necessarily know what that is. So like, it literally is a process of walking you through personal development. Like, first chapter, you figure out your story and your big why. And then the next one, you figure out what your two biggest distractions are. Like, what's holding you back from being the best version of yourself? Mm-hmm. Then we learn about time blocking, planning and implementing your day, setting up a powerful morning routine. Mm-hmm. I have a YouTube video that has like 10,000 views on it. And it's my morning routine. It's what I do in the morning. And people that are successful, like, don't reinvent the wheel. Just look at someone who's doing what you want to do and then mirror and match, you know?
So that's the reason, that's the reason why everything is blowing up.
I think so.
Going wild on the social media platform.
Yeah.
You know, I always tell people like this. I said, there are only 26 alphabets, you know, that's about it. But there's so much that's created out of that. In words, in videos, in expressing yourself, in sharing your journey. And you've been just coming back to the core of it, you having the ability to bless other people's lives.
Absolutely, yes.
And that's why everything is going well. Now, in terms of using that to grow a business, strategically putting our content marketing together to grow a business, how early would you advise an agent or a person that's new in business? Yeah. To get into it? You know, I use my four legs is ILDT, which is invest in yourself, education, learning, right? Doing it. Obviously, you want to be doing what you teach if you don't want to be another professor out there, right?
Yeah.
and teach it, right? And when you're teaching it, which is sharing your journey and just expressing yourself. So those are my four legs, and that's content marketing right there. How early do you think somebody should get into using content marketing, sharing their journey so people can know you, because people do business with people? How early should they get into that? So use
literally immediately. So I think you have two pages, right? You have your business page and you have your personal page, but 100% of my referrals came from my personal page. Yeah. People want to know what you're doing, where you're going, what you're reading, what matters to you, you know? And then, by the way, you just happen to be in this of buying, selling houses or personal development or whatever it is. I would say there's a power in a post. And when you're sharing with other people and you're sharing content, mm-hmm. you want to think like, what would I comment on? What matters to me? Like, what am I passionate about? And then that's what you can think about how to start to build your business. Like, I literally have one of the weeks in my webinar series mm-hmm. is about how to develop a business plan around social media for your business. Not necessarily real estate. It's any business. You know, there are rules when you're really high level doing social media that you have to abide by. There's a business plan. There's a strategy. And so, like, people just are kind of like blasé about it and posting about politics and all kinds of stuff. And it's like, you know what? You've got to be aware of your audience.
Now you just mentioned the word strategy and being careful. And that kind of goes together right there, because there is strategy. It's not just going out there and just throwing anything on there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now let's go into, you know, this is the point where I usually ask people, what is their conversion mindset? Okay.
Yeah.
Knowing your world is really all about knowing how to handle the objections, right?
Yeah.
What is your mindset when it comes to handling objections? Somebody is about to do business with you.
Yeah.
You got them already, but they got questions or they have.
Oh, I love this.
What's your mindset?
Okay. So the first thing I would tell you is when you're going into an appointment, like when I tell my agents, I'm like, oh, I'm going to go take this listing. They're like, oh, you already have it? I'm like, well, I don't go on listing appointments. I take listings. There's no if I'm going to get it. It's when I get it. Like, that's how my mind works.
Yeah.
So my whole thing is when I sit down with you, it is all about the expectation conversation. So I want you to think of it like this. If we drew a line down a piece of paper and on this side I said, this is what you can expect from me. And on this side I said, this is what I expect from you. You're not going to wonder what's happening next because it is clearly laid out for you. And I never talk about commission. I almost never do it until actually the contract, which is the very last part. When I sit down for a listing presentation or a buyer presentation,
right.
It is value, 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 value. Right. My professional fee is 6%. And they're like, done, you know?
Yeah, that's crazy. That's really, really crazy.
Mm-hmm.
The way I usually say that is transformation, right?
Yeah.
You want them to go through some time. They're asking you that they want to go through some transformation.
Yeah.
My house right now to selling it at the price I want to sell it for. And that's
yeah.
a conversation. We're not talking about my price. Why?
Yeah.
We don't know the value yet. If
right.
why are we going to talk about my money? That's just my money. That's value in my bank account. We're not going to talk about that. But you go in there and that's your conversation.
Yes.
Really, as opposed to, and when you do that, that kind of preframes the whole conversation already.
100%.
It's big deal. Big deal. Yeah. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
You can have this album free.
I know. I'm your coach today.
Now, legality mindset.
Yeah.
In real estate, the part I don't like the most about it is when people, there's some people you encounter and the first thing they want to talk about is how legal something is. I really,
yeah.
I honestly, I don't like that. I,
yeah.
I don't want to talk jail. I don't want to talk.
Yeah.
And it comes down to four things for me. My old thing from where I'm from, right? It's very simple. I don't cheat. I don't lie. I don't steal. Well, because I learned from real estate, full disclosure, this is what we're doing, right? Now, what's your legality mindset? Do you, when you're talking to people, is that what you lead with? Why do so many people lead with, I mean, not the legal, maybe that's not legal.
I do with like ethical. I talk about how, I talk about integrity. Integrity is really important to me. So I talk about integrity and I have a high level of integrity and I expect those around me to have it. Like I have fired clients because I feel like they're being shady. And I'm like, this isn't how we do business. I'm not doing stuff under the table. I'm not going to give you a kickback. Like, hi, I'm a professional. Mm-hmm. You treat me like one. I'll treat you like one, you know? Now we have brokers and we have a legal staff in my office. So if there's in the buyer broker consult and in the listing consult, there is a very small paragraph that talks about arbitration and mediation.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, listen, you actually don't work with me. You work with my broker. And what that means is that you have an attorney provided for you if and when you need one. Mm-hmm. Period. The end. That's it.
That's it.
So,
because here's how it goes down for me. Okay. You just mentioned kickbacks. Okay. Back in the days, earlier on when the market was really hot in 2005, 2006, and 2007, there were quite a few things going on that was okay with everybody.
Yeah.
But the moment that, you know, the market got, the block got hot, right? People started, some things became gray area, something became black. Right? And you know, me coming back into the business some few years back, because 2008 crashed me out of the business. So coming back into the business, you know, there were some things that we were used to that all of a sudden you can't do no more, you know?
Yeah.
So when I say, what about this one? Oh, yeah, they have guidelines against us right now. You know, there's a difference between saying that and say, and start looking at me like I want to do something shady, you know?
Yeah.
Because for me, it's very simple. It's value for value, right? If you're buying a house for $50,000, right? And I say, hey, there are comps in the area. There's equity there. Can I pull the $30,000? That used to be okay, right? But now there are guys, especially if you're using FHA loans and things like that. Now there's all kind of guidelines around that, right? The conversation I just had with you warrants you to say, oh yeah, the guidelines doesn't allow that in FHA any longer. It doesn't allow you to look at me funny
right? Yeah. Because I'm saying, no, you just told me you wanted 50, right? Yeah.
I think I'm pushing it back. Like, the government, this is what the government mandates. Like, it's not me. I'm the good guy. But this guy over here, he says no. Like, right. I'd love, people are like, oh, you know, I think my house is worth $450,000 and their house is worth, like, $380,000. I'm like, you know what? I'd love to get you $500,000, but, you know, I'm not the one who determines that. The buyers do. Or, you know, I want to get a kickback. I'd love to give you a kickback, but unfortunately, Uncle Sam wouldn't like it, and I don't want to go to jail, you know?
Right, right, right.
But it's like, I kind of make light of it, to be honest.
Right. I'm getting where I'm growing every day with it, you know, and it's very simple for me. It's like this. Oh, we can't do that. Okay, we got to find around the way.
Yeah.
Now, creativity in investment.
Right? Yeah.
How open are you to getting creative with investing in deals or doing deals and things like that? Are you strictly just by the book, or there are times that you will call an attorney to say, "Hey, is there a way around this?" Are you open to that?
I'm totally open to it. Like, if it's legal and I can make it work, I'm in. Like, I like, because I'm creative with real estate too, you know? Right. I'm creative with making a deal work. I'm a believer about some money or no money, and I'm down for some money, you know?
right.
However, like, if I'm flipping a property, there are people right now that are doing like 7% ROI. Get out of here. That is crazy, because if there's an issue with foundation or something, you're screwed.
You're wrong. You're
yeah.
Wrong.
So 12% is my minimum. That's it for me.
12. That's if you're buying to hold, you're talking about rentals now.
No, I'm talking about flipping. I want a 12% return.
Okay. Like, on your money, cash or cash.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
No.
That's not even tight. But some people go for 7%, you said?
Right now we have someone that, yeah, it's just like, because I'll get deals put across my plate and I'm like, this is 7%. And they're like, well, this person just took it. I'm like, good for them.
What are we investing? $1,000? $2,000?
For me?
No, the person.
I know, right? Crazy.
Money is still expensive, so.
Yeah, and our average price went out here, like, so I don't buy anything, like, my after repair value, like, I'm looking at properties 350 and below. That's just my preference.
What market is that?
So I'm in Sacramento County, so it's like a very hot market, but our average price out here is like $262,000. It's pretty low. My retail market is higher. I do, like, I've got a couple like $900,000 listings right now and stuff, so my retail is a bit higher, but for flipping, it's $262,000.
$262,000. I like the method you mentioned earlier. You know, when I come up with this thing, I always think I'm the first one that came up with it until someone like you says, hey, I do that too, right?
You're like, dang it, that girl.
When you said, listen, I'll go in to try to buy a house, you know, to put an offer on it. In case I can flip it, I'll list it myself, right? And if that's not possible, there's other options, like listing the property, you know?
Yeah.
You can still with
it's that. Opportunity. It's all opportunity.
Right. Because I remember, you know, we were putting together a direct mail piece. And in it, I actually learned from, I think his name is Craig Simpson. Is it Craig Simpson? He's a legend. From Canada. But anyway, he learned with the people like Dan Kennedy and stuff like that. But in his one of his letters said, if your house doesn't sell in 60 or 90 days, something like that, I will put an offer on it.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
Right?
There's a guy here who's like, if I don't sell your house in 90 days, I'll buy it for free or something like that.
Yeah, buy it for free. I don't know about that, because that's a straight line. Because you're
probably
going to buy it. What do you think about putting an offer on it? Because you can put an offer on it, right? It's just a matter of accepting the offer or not.
It's not something I would do. It's not something, no. Okay. I'm like, I want to list a house and have someone else buy it. I am big on prospecting, so most agents do what we call the 3 P's in real estate. They place a sign in your yard, they put it on MLS, and they pray that somebody else sells it. What I do is the fourth P.
What's the third one? What's the third one?
They pray that someone sells it.
The pray. That's what most of them do.
And what I do is the fourth P. So I'm actually prospecting to find the buyer. So I will pull 175 phone numbers of your neighbors, and I will circle call and ask them who they know as a friend they want to move in as a neighbor. And then I also will door knock the neighborhood about 100 doors. Same script.
You know, that's what I call going aggressive. And I, you know, I tell people there's no room for mediocrity.
No, get out of here. Get out of the business.
Just get out.
I'll take those houses for you.
Right. You know, and, we have dialers and things like that here too. We just don't call, no cold calling. Only people that know who I am, when I say, hey, this is all, they know who that is, you know. But you gotta, I don't know if I should call it aggressive, but there's no room for mediocrity, period.
Yeah.
You have to turn every stone. So that's a big deal. Hey, I had a good time having a conversation
with you. Thank you for having me on. This was good stuff.
Tell us about Limited to Legendary.
Yeah, so Limited to Legendary. So it's called From Limited to Legendary, your fast track to becoming a top 1,000 agent. So that is my real estate coaching program. It's a 10-week program, and basically the classes are anywhere between 30 and 60 minutes, and each class is live for 8 days to rewatch it. There's tons of like visual examples. I talk about my marketing. So it's like marketing and brand awareness, 10x the buying process, 10x the selling process, social media, how to identify talent, like growing your business, hiring assistants, hiring agents, hiring, you know, whatever. So it's a 10-week series, and then it's a half-hour live Q&A with me. So every Monday at 10:30 Pacific Standard Time, I do live Q&A, and I'm either talking about what we talked about that week or any question you want to know. People want to know about my business. They want to know my workout routine. They want to know what contact management system I use, who's my marketing gal, and all of the different systems that I use. I give discounts through those vendors to my clients.
Your clients. Okay. Now, if somebody is getting started brand new, right, they got a job. They got to keep a job. Right?
Yeah.
Because no money yet. It's 100%. 100% of your
Going
to come from commissions, right?
Yeah.
And they don't necessarily have the resources that you have.
Yeah.
Of monetary investment, budget, marketing budget.
Yeah.
Where would you advise them to start from? Remember, they have 8 hours. They have no money. But they may have a little bit of money because hopefully they have, if you're working 8 hours and you don't have money, maybe you should change the job. But you get it. Where should they start from to create the best momentum in the beginning and sustainability? I always ask for people to balance momentum and sustainability. Yeah. If you go too hard, you can't do it next month. You can't do it 3 months from now. Yeah. What's the point, right?
I would say first thing you do is you have nights and weekends. And if you're going to hustle and you want to get in this business, then you're going to have to work longer hours than you want. So offer to team up with an agent who's already producing and be their showing agent. Offer to show them their clients' properties on nights and weekends and ask for part of the commission. On my team, it's 20% of the commission that caps at $2,000. And so they can show on nights and weekends, do open houses on weekends, door knock. Your 2 feet do not cost you any money. Get your office or print some stuff out in black and white, whatever's cheaper. Partner with a lender and get them to print it for you, even better, right? And then door knock the neighborhood to invite people to your open house, hold your house open, and then your availability to show them is nights and weekends. And that's really how you start. And then education can be free right now because of the internet. So go on, if you want to do door knocking, Google door knocking best scripts. Look up my name. I have hundreds of videos on YouTube with me literally sharing my scripts, talking about what I do. And when you have $349, you can buy my coaching program. It's very affordable because I wanted to do it for agents that couldn't afford it.
Absolutely. That's extremely affordable. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice answer to that one. So you got to do some things in the beginning that you don't have to do in the future, you know,
right.
But if you want to make that kind of money that the regular people don't make, you got to be ready to do what regular people are not necessarily doing.
Beautiful. Exactly.
Now, in terms of online marketing for agents, right, where's the angle for them? Like, what do you use when it comes to online marketing? Clearly, you do content marketing. You just said you have tons of video on YouTube.
Yeah, right? I do.
Right?
Yeah, so YouTube's good. Like, if you're going to do an open house, you can. Well, the way I started my business was on Facebook. I would say, come see my open house. Come see my open house. And I was doing 3 a week. So for people, they're like, oh, my God, this girl has so much business. Well, they didn't know they weren't my listings. I didn't say, come see my listing. I just said, come see my open house. But perception's reality. So they start thinking, who's this girl and how does she have so much business? I better start using her because she's pretty good at what she does. And then your business flows. So know that, like, even if you're this big, make yourself look this big. Like, in the beginning, I was all about fake it till you make it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Some people don't like when you say that, but it is exactly that.
Now it's a little different, but...
Yeah, you have to leverage all the stories around you, the people that are active around you. There are people that are
that would want to be your mentors if you are giving them value as well, right?
Yeah.
If you're going to be at their open house all the time, you're always available. They're going to show you everything they know. If they don't, you're looking at it anyway, you know?
Totally.
Now, I noticed something, and I wanted to point it out. When we started the interview, you were like, this, oh my God, Jorian, and then you turned to a lion on me. You look way too much, right?
I know. Well, you know what? Like, I'm so not, like, a calm, like, I mean, I'm, like, happy and chill, but I'm just like, let's talk about it.
No, but people can see the truth. You know, you're freaking...
I'm passionate. Like, I love what I do, and I get to connect with people all the time. Like, I'm thankful. It's good.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And, you know, to go in full circle, we were just saying, we go hard. We go really, really hard. And yes, we are these lions, but you must always come back and remember that life has to be lived, and your best productivity is going to come out of you living life in its fullest as well, too. Yeah, absolutely. What do you see yourself in 5 years' time?
5 years' time, I want to be a mama. I definitely want to have a kid. For sure, I want to have two babies, a boy and a girl, hopefully. I definitely will be married. We're hoping to get married next year.
Nice.
And I would like to be out of the actual daily productivity in my real estate company. So I would like to be coaching my agents at a high level. I would like to be, so I hit top 1,000 agent in the country, but I want my team to be one of the top teams in the whole U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And I want, so for my agents, like, I know my agents, I know their kids, I know where they want to vacation, I know the cars they want to drive. So, like, I will be successful when all my agents are hitting their goals, because I link their goals to my goals, you know?
That's beautiful. And that's what I love about Keller Williams.
The
program is definitely catered to that, to be able to use the team and leverage. How big is leverage for you?
Oh my God. If I could leverage, I'd leverage it.
Right? Absolutely. And I say leverage is the name of the game, you know, we launched last week our Empire Traffic Academy. And the slogan was School of Business and Freedom. There's too many people out here running the business, but what they end up in is they end up in another rat race, you know?
Yeah.
That's not what you want. You don't want to be.
I have no problem with leverage. Like, I don't do my own laundry. I don't, like, I mean, I there are certain things that I'm like, what is a money-making activity and what do I get joy out of? And if I don't, then who can I hire to take that off my plate?
Yes, who can I?
We all have the same amount of hours in the day, so how do you choose to use your time? If I can get any extra time, I'm spending it with Ryan. That's it. Or my girlfriends, you know? Yes. Not my clients and not on my company.
And all your girlfriends.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, thank you so much for coming here.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me. This was a pleasure.
My pleasure. Hopefully you've been enlightened and educated. I'll see you on the next one. Peace.
Hey, do you want my steps to six-figure PDF? Do you want that? Do you want my free ebook on how to make six figures income in simple steps? Simply go to networkmarketing2show.com. Networkmarketing2show.com.